Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
WGR Sports Radio 550.
Continuity is key here, and Josh Allen having the same coordinator for another year is huge, because as you're still figuring out the league and he's still figuring out kind of himself and reinventing how he plays the game, you do want to limit how many changes you throw at this guy. You want to limit how difficult you make life for your hopefully franchise quarterback.
How's that sound to you?
Sounds smart to me.
Yeah. Nothing to disagree with there, I guess.
Nope.
That's Marcel Louis-Jacques from ESPN on the station. My name's Joe DiBiase. Lou DiBiase across from me. Are we calling this Two Bros Live again?
Two Bros Live is back.
We're filling in for One Bills Live.
Although Derek had another
name. I might go rogue on you two, depending on what you plan on talking about.
Well, we'll see.
He has a name for us if we have certain takes.
Yes, oh, is it like hot takery?
It's the deluxe DiBiase hot take
hotline. Well, you never know what we're going to get off on a tangent. Last time we argued about Gardner Minshew
versus
Marcus Mariota.
Look how far the Titans came.
Yeah, and then Tannehill was thrown into the mix along the way. There was like a Melvin Gordon
debate along the way. You had to sweat that out, that bet.
Yeah, I have a bet with Mike Shope on that. Ryan Tannehill will never start and win a Super Bowl, and he came pretty darn close.
He'll never get this close again, right? Like,
oh,
this was
the closest
you'll...
In his first year of that.
Yeah,
bet
hilariously
existing.
Enough, like, the closest you'll come to losing that bet, likely, was the first year where he starts off the season as a backup in Tennessee, of all places. Like, no one thought the Titans were doing what they did this year at all.
They did it in... an old school type of fashion also. There's a couple of different conversations I want to have relating to what we saw yesterday and what we've seen throughout the playoffs so far. We are going to look ahead to the draft a little bit. Sal Capaccio going to be in Mobile, Alabama for the Senior Bowl this week.
It's that time of year.
We'll hear lots of Sal this week. We're going to hear from talk to Chris Trapasso from CBS Sports, covers the NFL draft and also the Bills for CBS Sports. We're going to talk to him in about an hour.
Love the pre-draft process.
No,
don't
I don't.
Watch
I
you
hate
love it.
The pre-draft
process. The combine's
process.
Coming up soon.
The combine is the bit is nonsensical. It is just I don't even know what to describe.
You don't like sitting
the
there for 3 hours watching offensive linemen work out in shorts?
I couldn't care less. It has no impact to me on how good they're going to be in the league. Like, not no impact,
there's
but minimal.
There's some drills that, and this will be obviously for when the combine comes closer, but there's some drills you should pay attention to. Like for linebackers, like fluidity of hips, that's going to tell if he's going to be able to be a capable linebacker in coverage. There's a lot of different
things. But even the ones that matter
do.
Get overblown, a.k.a. the three-cone drill, a.k.a. DK Metcalf.
The measurable ones, I think, are the ones that don't matter. I think the position drills at the combine are what matter most.
I eat it all up.
I'm more worried about what a player did in college, what kind of scheme they played in college, and what that large group
Fair,
of film
you
tells
also gotta
me,
be careful.
As opposed to a three-hour workout in
shorts. But you also got to be careful of college production versus potential, because I feel like a lot of guys go high just because they're productive. It doesn't really matter the setting, and then there's no ceiling, really. They kind of plateau, and some are just straight-out busts.
Not to mention... with the Senior Bowl week, let's not worry about the combine, I would say. But the Senior Bowl week,
Senior Bowl is kind of the same thing.
The practice week is far more important than the game. Remember that, EJ
Manuel. Why are we getting sucked into a pre-draft? You sucked me in already. We're not even
minutes
in
February.
Here.
This is how it is in 2020.
No, we'll have Chris on to talk draft
in
an hour.
All right, fair.
It doesn't
we've
help
got time.
Once I get going, it's hard to stop.
It doesn't help that your brother is a draft nerd, and your producer is a draft nerd.
You're doing
nerd.
The show with two draft nerds.
I know. I was prepared for this to happen at some point. I just didn't think it was going to happen 3 minutes
into
the show.
James Proch from SMU.
Who? Like, what are we talking? Free agency is going
to
be coming
We're
up
trying
first.
To find Bills and some wide receivers.
That's not right here and now. The draft is.
So should we just do the combine on Super Bowl Sunday? We could watch that instead and be more worried
about
that?
Well, true. Free agency is
Pro Bowl.
It's true. Free agency is first, although I prefer it to be the opposite way. I like the NBA style where it's draft than free agency.
The furthest I'll go is I will give you that. It is better than the Pro Bowl.
True.
There's a couple of different ways I want to take this. The first way I want to take it is probably the subject that Bills fans listening right now, and by the way, if you got a thought, you want to get in with me and Lou, 803-0550 is the phone number. I'll be scouring the tweets too, so you can do that at WGR550, or you can hit us up at Sneaky Joe WGR or at DiBiase LOE. We are at a point where we haven't really had this conversation, and I gotta be honest. Like, I didn't even tell you what I wanted to lead off the
show
with.
I'm going in blind.
I wanted to hear your first reaction to me bringing this up as a conversation. And I think the whole conversation is a credit to how good Tre'Davious White has been, because he has made us completely ignore this as a subject of conversation. But I'm sitting here now almost 3 years later, and I understand the reasons why the Bills didn't do it. I understand the reasons why the Bills weren't even really willing, it seemed, to do it. But I'm now looking back 3 years, and hindsight's 2020, of course, but their unwillingness in the 2017 NFL draft with Sean McDermott at the helm to not even be willing to draft a quarterback, it kind of sucks on a day like today, mm-hmm. where Patrick Mahomes is going to the Super Bowl. And to me, like, we've got just ESPN on in the background up here and First Take with Skip. Stephen A. Smith and Max Kellerman. Like, the subject on the screen is Patrick Mahomes the best quarterback we've ever seen? And to me,
the goat talk has started in year three.
Sure, right. And you wouldn't, the argument of who's the best quarterback of all time, it's probably different than who's the best quarterback you've ever seen. Because
I think, from a pure talent perspective.
Yeah, me as a 24-year-old football fan who's never seen, you know, never saw Joe Montana play, never really saw John Elway play, never saw Marino, never saw Kelly, never saw all the Steve Young, all the 90s guys, or, of course, well before that. I didn't see Sammy Baugh play football, throwing it around in leather helmets.
I think you're fine without seeing that.
Sammy Baugh, though, some good stats for his era, I won't lie. Mahomes, to me, is the best quarterback I've ever seen play football. He is the peak of that position. If you were going to design a quarterback in a lab, he would be Patrick Mahomes. He can throw the ball on a rope 70 yards in the air. He can do it to a T with accuracy. Every time, it's right on the money with this guy. The only thing you might want to upgrade if you were going to make the absolute perfect quarterback is you might give him Lamar Jackson's athleticism.
I was going to say, maybe a little more speed for sure.
We saw the touchdown run yesterday. He's a good athlete. He's not, you know, he's not blowing the doors off of you in terms of a quarterback
using
running
head
football.
Fakes.
Yeah, he's not even Josh Allen in that respect.
No, he's not.
But he's an athletic quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
He is, to me, the best quarterback I've ever seen. He's playing football at a higher level than I've seen a quarterback do because of how he's doing it. Aaron Rodgers, to me, comes the closest for just a guy that, like, hey, when everything breaks down and it's schoolyard football, he can roll out to the right, throw it off his back foot 40 yards to Sammy Watkins, and it's a touchdown yesterday.
I'm glad you brought this up because I was thinking about this yesterday, and the conversation was actually going on Twitter about this back and forth, and I feel like it's going to, for as long as Josh Allen's the quarterback, as long as Mahomes is this good, they're going to be in the same conversation. Bills fans are always going to, in the media, you know, they're going to compare these two. And for me, like, I can't lie, again, with hindsight, I can't sit here and say in 2017 I loved Patrick Mahomes out of Texas Tech, or even I wasn't a big fan of Deshaun Watson out of Clemson. So I didn't even love the class. I didn't really bat an eye when the Bills traded that pick at the time of the draft. But now, and I understand the logic for, like you said, Sean McDermott has come out and said, like, they didn't want to get deep into the quarterback evaluation process because he was still building his staff.
And the GM wasn't there yet. Yeah.
But my problem is just that, though. There are rookie coaches that have selected, you know, been part of the process of taking a rookie quarterback instantly. Like, from year one, they bring in their guy. So the logic, I understand that, yeah, you'd like to have your scouts, your front office intact before you make such a huge decision, because coaches are linked with their quarterback. If your quarterback doesn't work out, odds are it doesn't really matter what else happens. You're going to get fired if you don't find out that position within 2-3 years. So the problem was, though, that you went into the draft process still without that figured out. That is my issue was, okay, I get it. You didn't want to take a quarterback because of the staff, but how you didn't have that, the timing is very head-scratching, to the point where you should have at that point been set up to start selecting, you know, prospects for your future. Why you had scouts that weren't going to be within the organization in a couple months running your draft board, why Doug Whaley still is intact. that to me is like not an excuse for not having Mahomes. And the logic adds up for McDermott, but the timing of that
everything
decision,
happening,
it just doesn't. I don't accept that.
And that's where I want to drive this to. It's, do the Bills deserve any blame? Any blame at all? Like it's a spectrum. It's not that, hey, they deserve to be, you know, crapped on for it because that they weren't considering it at all, or they deserve some blame, or they don't deserve none at all. I believe they deserve some, and that's where I'm at. Do they deserve some blame or any for not being even willing to draft a quarterback in a class where, not even a class, you traded out of the pick that was Patrick Mahomes,
the pick, yeah,
and Deshaun Watson went a few picks later. And again, I led this off with this. Tre'Davious White has been so good. If Tre'Davious White had showed up and been, you know, even like not even just like a flat out bust, but Leotis McKelvin 2.0, like a starting corner, but he's not lighting the world on fire, and people
like
don't think
Darby.
He's even that good. Yeah, something like that. Then we're having this talk and we're thinking about this probably a lot more than we are. That's how good he's been.
I think the
at the end of the day, though, it's a cornerback versus a quarterback. And in today's league, we see the difference that a quarterback can make. The Chiefs this year were 17th in total defense. They were 17th. They do not have a player on the defensive side of the football like Tre'Davious White. They just don't. And it doesn't matter. Because if you nail the quarterback to that, if you nail it that good,
I mean, they're down 24-0.
It almost doesn't matter.
A week ago,
exactly. You're
and then
down
they put up
that
51
big.
Like in their sleep.
Right. It's not even that. Like we were wondering all season. Hey, if the Bills get down in a game, like down big, are they capable of coming back? And they didn't all the time. But Allen proved they were at least capable of doing it. The Chiefs almost do it consistently. The Chiefs don't. It doesn't take them a game to
come
back.
They were down again
they
yesterday.
They did it in a quarter.
They were down again yesterday, two scores. And before you can blink an eye, they're up, what, 35-17? So I don't blame them for, again, because like Mahomes wasn't this surefire, like, he's going to be a star prospect. He was coming out of Texas Tech. The Big 12, I know people like to overreact to where players play for certain conferences, but he wasn't, you know, the bona fide
but
number one
But aren't you always
going to
get that? Aren't you always going to
no,
get that with
yeah,
the quarterback?
I think the blame more so goes towards what you were saying about how the door was just always shut. I don't think they were ever even, like, considering taking a quarterback in that draft at all.
And that's my
early
problem.
On.
I don't think in this league, in today's game, excuses like out the window on like why you didn't do it. You should always be willing to draft a quarterback in the first round. The biggest issue I've had with the Bills in my lifetime has not been really that, of course it's been they've missed on quarterback after quarterback after quarterback. My biggest issue has been their investment into the position, their willingness, that's a word I'm going to use a lot today, their willingness to draft a quarterback in the first round. They've done it three times in their history.
Yeah.
Four times in their history. They did it with Kelly. They did it with Lossman. They did it with Manuel. And they did it with Allen. That is it. And too many times in this team's history, and I'm hoping that this is the last time we'll have to have this kind of talk, and that we'll have to keep bringing stuff like this up, where this team has just not been willing to draft quarterbacks in the first round. If Allen works out, he doesn't have to be Mahomes. If he works out, if he is a top 10 quarterback, if he's around a top 10 quarterback, if he's good enough to where that if everything else is pretty good around him, they'll make the playoffs, you know, every year, every other year, something like that, then we're not going to have this. We're not going to have to talk like this again. But we're not obviously sold on what Allen is for the long term yet. I'm optimistic given the improvement he made from year one to year two, but I'm definitely not sold.
And he's certainly not a quarterback that's thrown 76 touchdowns in the last 2 years Mahomes.
Oh yeah, and until that happens,
4,000 more passing yards than Allen.
I think you have to continue to look at the whole process of drafting a guy, because the next year, I understand their logic behind it, and they're wanting to do it the way they did it. They wanted everything in place. They wanted the staff together. They wanted everybody together.
Again, why, though? I'm still so confused that didn't happen like instantly.
Well,
why?
No. That takes time, I think, because you don't want to just bring guys in fresh, and then suddenly you've got a staff. This is at least the way it's been sold. I don't know if this has to be true.
I don't know.
But that they had a staff. If you're bringing in a staff cold that has like no work done on this draft class with the draft coming up, versus you've got a scouting department. While you may not trust that scouting department, they've done all the work.
You don't trust these scouts to be employed with you anymore, yet you're having them run.
So is that a good enough excuse then for not drafting a quarterback?
I don't think so.
Because to me, I look at that draft class for the Bills, Tre'Davious White in the first round, 27th, nailed it. That's one of the best picks of the first round in the entire draft. Second round, Zay Jones, not a good pick. But then you got Deion Dawkins, end of the second round, guy's a starting left tackle, pretty good. Fifth round, Matt Milano. Like, they nailed some picks in that draft class, and we don't hear the excuses there. We don't hear, oh, well, they didn't draft a cornerback. They didn't do well at this pick because that's who was in charge at the time. They had a good draft. They did. And I'm still left wondering why it was needed to rule out one and only one position.
Well, it's because of job security. Because, again, like I said, the minute you take the quarterback, your expiration date, like, it hits. The clock starts ticking instantly. So if you're McDermott, again, I get it. Not wanting to make that drastic of a decision at that position. Because, again, if you take Mitchell Trubisky, right? If the Bills were to move up for Mitchell Trubisky.
That's who it was rumored they liked, by the way.
Which is alarming. But if you were to have taken Mitchell Trubisky, and what's happening in Chicago right now happened in Buffalo, Sean McDermott right now is probably on the hot seat.
That's true.
So I get the logic for McDermott.
Well,
again, it was just the timing of not have. I don't know. I just feel like they should have been equipped. They should have been prepared at that point of time in the draft to be willing to take their guy.
The Trubisky thing, I won't give them too much grief over, because I would bet you there were a lot of teams in the league, and we know at least one in Chicago, but there were a lot of teams in the league that had Trubisky as their top quarterback. There is a reason Chicago felt the need to trade up one spot to draft Trubisky 10 picks ahead of Mahomes and, 10 picks ahead of Watson and 8 picks ahead of Mahomes. That's just, you know, this is sport. Like, you can only give a team so much grief for missing on a quarterback, because guess what? The whole NFL stinks at evaluating quarterbacks. They do. It is not a perfect science. In fact, it's not even, if you look at the average of, like, what the success rate of teams drafting quarterbacks, even in the first round, it's like below 50-50, so you can only give them so much grief. But again, that's why I just want a team, and maybe we won't need to have a team like this again because maybe Allen's good, but I just want my team to always be willing to take that shot. And in that moment, they were not willing to take
that
shot.
But at the same time,
they don't have the best quarterback I've ever seen.
Right, but at the same time, don't get me wrong, like, this organization, this regime, though, isn't like unwilling to, you know, it's crazy.
They proved the next year that they are.
So there was a near two decade long drought, and they took a quarterback in the first round, what, once or twice? Lossman and Manuel. So the fact that you never made the playoffs for almost two decades, you took, like, that's unwillingness. Here, the Bills did make the playoffs with a different quarterback, and they decided that wasn't good enough, and they took their guy in the first round. So, again, I'm with you on a lot of what you're saying, but we can only go so far with it, because they did show the next year that they were willing to, you know, step out on a limb despite making the, they could have went into year two with McDermott and Tyrod and said, hey, we made the playoffs, we're going to build off that, but they decided
I'm
to.
I'm very glad they didn't do that.
Yeah, they
as
went
a matter
with
fact,
the move.
To step further into this, I said this with Brayton in the first hour of his show today. First off, I hate you. Just joking on that part, obviously. But I don't like the fact that people are bringing this up because of one reason and one reason only. To compound on this fact that Louis is saying, I think that the Bills were looking for one thing in particular. They were looking for synergy. They were looking for a GM and a front office that would mesh with the coaching staff and have a shared vision. That's what the Bills are clearly showcasing right now, is a shared vision. They did not have everything there yet, and that's all in poor timing.
Mm-hmm.
To draft a quarterback, start your clock on your hot seat, that's kind of irresponsible, I would even say. I also think it's irresponsible to go into a draft
with guys you're going to fire.
You have to work with what you've got at that point. And the Bills did a good job at that point, knowing that that's what they needed to do. To get the central figure of your team, of your offense, without your entire staff being there yet, that's not something that football teams want to do.
And it's that way of thinking that makes me think why teams make this many mistakes at quarterback. Mm. They always think they have to have everything
perfect.
Then look
at the 49ers.
To pick the quarterback.
Look at the 49ers. Their quarterback threw it 8 times yesterday, and they're in the Super Bowl. So if the Bills want to go ahead and build a great team.
But he wasn't that all season.
I don't care about that. I'm saying
we don't care how they got to the NFC Championship game and were the best team in the NFC.
Was Jimmy Garoppolo ever tearing it up? Do we even know how good Jimmy Garoppolo actually is?
Yeah, he's pretty darn good.
He's good. Okay, if Josh Allen just gets to good and they build themselves a good team, I don't think that this matters.
Oh, it will always matter.
It does not. Why would it always matter?
They traded the pick, who is the best quarterback I've ever seen. It will always matter.
No, traded the pick that happened to have that team select that player. That does not mean that they were just saying, we are trading you,
fine,
Patrick
then
Mahomes.
Watson. Fine, Deshaun Watson then. And I don't care who it is. There were two
as
quarterbacks.
As long as Josh Allen is good, it will not matter.
I completely disagree.
I don't know, because what do we constitute as good?
That's stupid.
Like, what's good? Is Ryan Tannehill good? I don't accept
that.
If Josh Allen's Ryan Tannehill, I don't accept
and
that.
And I said if Allen is a certain amount of good, I said if he's around a top 10 quarterback, we're not going to talk about it. But to me, that doesn't mean that it doesn't matter. Because there is you can always go up, right? You can always go up. And it's more of a philosophical thing for me why this player is not a Buffalo Bill right now. It's they felt the need, and they felt that all of it needed to be perfectly set up before they went for that position. And I'm not saying they deserve all the blame in the world. I said that it's a spectrum. It's a grid. Mm-hmm. And that somewhere along that grid, there needs to be a point where there's some blame put on them. That, for you, that could be none at all. For someone else, it could be all the blame in the world. And you should always take a quarterback in the first round. For me, I'm probably somewhere down the middle. I think that you should always be willing to take that shot at the quarterback. And what I wonder is, if this team and if this regime at that moment had felt that way, what kind of team? And that's it for me. Like, I am a bit of a guy who likes to look at revisionist history and like think about, what could have been. Not everybody likes that conversation. I like the conversation of, what could have been. Because just fantasizing about what this team, with this defense, with this regime, this coaching staff, this general manager, all the support that they've put around Josh Allen, who was an imperfect prospect coming in, a more imperfect prospect than Mahomes. Neither were Andrew Luck, as you said earlier.
Yeah, Mahomes wasn't.
But if you surrounded that guy, Mahomes, who is doing this, by the way, with the Chiefs team, who has set him up perfectly on offense, but the defense is not nearly what the Bills are. If you had put Mahomes and just dropped him into this situation, it's hard for me not to care about what could have been, because now I'm watching him with that defense, who is not that good, go in. Well, they've been good. They've been better as of late. But they're going to the Super Bowl, and I think they're going to win the Super Bowl, and I think they're going to win multiple Super Bowls with that quarterback. To me, it stinks that they weren't. That you should ever shut the quarterback position out. You should never cross that off.
I get what Derek's saying. Like, and you see Garoppolo, I think, is just a good quarterback. I don't think he's a great quarterback. If Josh Allen is that, you can win with that. And you won't, like you said, talk about Mahomes a whole lot. But
the Titans
I'm not
made
okay.
the AFC Championship with
sure,
Ryan Tannehill.
But how many times is that going to happen for the Titans compared to the Chiefs? Like, the Chiefs are going to be, they've already, in two straight years with Patrick Mahomes, is only 2 years, they've already been to two AFC title games and a Super Bowl. And they have a 17th ranked defense, a secondary that gets torn up a lot. And by the way, no run game whatsoever. They had, deep into the third quarter, they had 9 rushing yards yesterday. So it's literally
Mahomes.
Patrick Mahomes, because he's got a great coaching staff. He's got incredibly
Mahomes
fast
might
receivers.
Have been the leading rusher.
One more little fun
I'm looking
thing.
For great too, so I understand that. I don't know. It's just you want it for me. Yeah, it's going from good to great, that does matter.
I joked about this with Brayton that Pat Mahomes is basically Connor McDavid. He's in a tier of his own.
Right.
And you could have had that at what, pick 9?
But
it doesn't even have to be Mahomes. I'm using him because he's in the Super Bowl. It could have been Deshaun Watson.
Sure. But here's my point here. He is in a league of his own. And really, I can't go ahead and blame the Bills for not taking that player because he was not seen
as that. It's not about
that
specific player. It's about that position.
He was not seen as that at that point. And I'm okay with
this. I don't care. It's the position.
But again, my big thing is this.
I agree. Yeah.
There are teams that are right now showing us that this is not the same quarterback-dominated league that we got the peak of, and it's going away now. Drew Brees, Peyton Manning, Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady.
Or is it just changing?
Yeah, because
it's just evolving into new guys.
Because now it's Pat Mahomes and then literally everybody else.
Lamar Jackson just threw for the most touchdowns in the league.
Deshaun Watson
is going to win
that.
And what did he get? Another one and done, unfortunately, for him. He's
good. But for you to say, though, that's Ravens are going to be, or that.
What I'm saying is Mahomes is a completely different animal.
I don't think Mahomes is an outlier. I don't think having a great quarterback
Football
always
Jesus
be consistently.
Absolutely is an outlier.
I don't think we're suddenly seeing a new NFL where the Ryan Tannehills of the world and the Jimmy Garoppolos are always going to be playing deep into the postseason.
They can, as long as you have a competent front office, that the Bills clearly are showcasing.
They can,
but
you always have to have other things around them always in a great spot,
And
that, to me, is not always the case when you have a Patrick Mahomes. You don't always need that. So,
how did Pat Mahomes lose last year in the AFC Championship game? By having a paper tissue defense.
You can get there with the way you're talking, but to me, I want the consistency.
Does it help? You have a Mahomes.
At the end of the day.
Doesn't help, but I really think that you're going to – we have 2 weeks of this. You're going to drive me crazy.
At the end of the day, this is where we're at. There are multiple ways to win. There are. You've got one quarterback in the Super Bowl who is the best quarterback in football. Like, Lamar Jackson was the MVP this year, but if I'm starting a franchise tomorrow, I'm picking Patrick Mahomes over anybody.
That's what I'm saying. If Case Keenum made it to the NFC title game, does that mean the Vikings should have paid Case Keenum because it happened once?
That's why I said there are multiple ways to win. The Niners are basically a souped-up version of the Bills right now. That's what they are. They're the best defense that's going right now, and their offense is not as good as their defense. It's better than the Bills' offense, though. So they're a souped-up version of the Bills. You can win that way. You've got Houston, the team who beat the Bills this year. They are Deshaun Watson and DeAndre Hopkins, and that's it.
There are multiple ways to win it,
but this is where we're at.
But what's the consistent way to win? That, like, Bortles made it to an AFC title game. Sure. Does that mean the quarterback should have always kept going with Blake Bortles? The quarterback is
the great fix. I don't think it's a coincidence.
Nick Foles won a Super Bowl.
I don't think it's a coincidence the Niners had four straight 10-loss seasons. Garoppolo shows up. He throws for 4,000 yards. He averages 250 yards a game. They're a turnover, sure, but he's a way higher level of quarterback
they've
had.
The Chiefs, by the way, are the perfect example. Alex Smith, yeah, year after year, they were consistently getting to the first or second round, but now that they have Mahomes, instantly they got to the AFC Conference title game, nearly beat the Patriots in overtime, and then the next year they're playing in the Super Bowl. So the Chiefs themselves are an example of this.
We are off to a fiery start on Two Bros Live. How much credit or how much blame at all do the Bills deserve, if any? And I think it's completely respectable to think they don't deserve any at all. But let me know what you think on how much blame the Bills deserve for not taking Mahomes, and you can throw Watson into that too, 3 years ago, as the Chiefs with Patrick Mahomes are now going to be going to the Super Bowl, and they'll play in, is that 13 days away now, 2 weeks from yesterday? So let me know what you think. 803-0550 is the phone number. We'll read through some tweets and texts as we go along as well, at Sneaky Joe WGR on Twitter. Joe DiBiase, Lou DiBiase, Derek Kramer hanging us all around as well. We'll hear from Chris Trapasso at 1 o'clock here on WGR.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
I've been blessed to be in a great situation with a lot of great football players and coaches around me. I think that's the biggest thing is from day one, I've been accepted to go out there and be who I am. And my teammates, they've responded by being great every single day. And so for me, I've been put in a great situation and I just try to maximize it every single day.
That's Patrick Mahomes. You know, this kind of, I think, came up in the course of the first segment, but like, how good do you really think they'd be with him? Because Derek actually just mentioned, I think someone tweeted in, that or someone tweeted,
well,
in fact, like, oh, would he even be good
talk,
in Buffalo?
Yeah.
And to me, like, you know, okay, maybe he wouldn't be putting up the same type of numbers because the Bills don't have Travis Kelce.
He probably wouldn't throw for 51 touchdowns.
Yeah, they don't have a Tyreek Hill.
still have 30.
But to think that he would not be incredible on this team right now is like that part of this argument needs to go
like,
away.
People
needs
are
to
right.
Die.
People
because,
are
like,
right.
Oh,
he ran into
if he played in Buffalo, he'd be worse. No, that's a loser's mentality. Stop with that. He would have been great for us, and I know that that's part of the infuriating part about it. But
yes, look, Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce,
I also
Andy
still
Reed,
jokingly hate
the Bills would be in the Super Bowl right now.
You think?
If they had drafted Mahomes in 2017,
in,
I think
oh,
with
yeah.
this
season,
with
yeah,
this coach,
with that defense, yeah.
With this
yeah,
coach, this GM, that defense, and some good weapons, not great,
yeah.
I believe they'd be in the Super Bowl right now.
And I get, like, when we're talking about maybe 2018, but for me still, though, I don't like using system talk with Mahomes. Look, yeah, he is set up perfectly. You have
He's just so good.
One of the best quarterback coaches in NFL history in Andy Reid. You have the best tight end in the league. You have the fastest wide receiver in the league. I do
is
get
Andy
that.
Reid that?
I think he is, yeah. He did some incredible things with Jeff Garcia, Kevin Cobb, A.J. Feely.
Kevin Cobb.
I think Alex Smith. You'd be surprised what Kevin Cobb did in 2009. Enough for the
I'm
Cardinals.
Sure I would.
Enough for the Cardinals to trade a second and a top-tier corner.
That's him. Right. They did do that.
So,
right.
Andy Reid did that. So, but like Mahomes, I don't accept that for Patrick Mahomes. This guy, like, just comparison to Josh Allen. Threw for 76 more touchdowns over the last 2 years and 4,000 more passing yards. That would be basically yeah. Josh Allen
and you could,
sitting out for a season and
right.
Patrick Mahomes going.
And I don't the I like this conversation. I knew coming in that I was gonna we were stepping into
and I'm not someone that's like pissed
a burning
off if
fire.
They don't have Mahomes.
If this were to happen, we were stepping into a burning. We were setting this room on fire if we were gonna do this.
Allen's
and I want
the prodigal son now,
but I don't want Allen to get sucked into it too much. Because
yeah.
I think his conversation is a separate one.
It's just I'm only comparing. I'm bringing Allen in just
yes.
as like if Mahomes was here the past 2 years, what would the mm-hmm. end result be? And I don't think it's fair to say, well, Mahomes has all
yeah.
these weapons. Yeah, he does. But like, come on,
we'll
look at what some of the stuff he's
yeah.
doing.
We'll start rolling through some calls here. 803-0550. You calls hit up us on Twitter if you want as well at Sneaky Joe WGR at DiBiase LOE. The way I posted on Twitter is: do the Bills deserve any blame for not being willing to draft Mahomes in 2017? And I really should have put Mahomes / Watson because he went a couple picks later, and they're both great.
But
Mahomes
deep,
is the one in the Super Bowl.
And you're
so
not going deep in on this where
him.
You're saying they, you know.
No, no one needs to be fired.
Yeah.
But I wish you would never cross
you
off
wish they had Patrick Mahomes. I get it.
Well, I think you should never cross off quarterback if you're going into a draft,
yeah,
no matter who's
you.
In charge.
Yeah, I agree.
Let's go to Jerry and Kenmore. Jerry, what's up, man? You're on WGR.
You know what's funny? You know what I'm going to get tired of the next 2 weeks is all these defense guys versus all these offense guys. And I'll give you an example. Like, if you could be one of these teams right now, which one would it be?
Kansas City.
Answer's easy. It's Kansas City.
Yes.
Because if the first quarter ends in that Super Bowl 14-0 Kansas City, is the game over? Probably. If the first quarter ends 14-0 San Francisco, is the game over? No way. You know, it's...
Yeah.
Game could be 24-0 and it won't be over.
Offense keeps yeah. you in games. You know, defense, offense is what keeps you in games now. You know, my concern isn't the quarterback position. You know, he has a player on that team that is 2 40-yard touchdowns away from being the all-time leader in 40-yard plus touchdowns in the history of this league. Get playmakers for this. Do you know, I play in a fantasy league in the playoffs, and I played 2 9-er running backs yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't play the right one.
Right.
So you probably played what? Matt Breida and Tevin Coleman?
And Coleman.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Think about
Jeff Wilson.
New England has beat us for years. You don't know which running back is going to beat you. You don't know which wide receiver is going to beat you. We need to be that team. That's the future of this league. There's no depth on offense. We had sure, he's the third all-time leader in rushing in the league, but he's an over-the-hill second-string running back that and a rookie. You know, it's get depth at all. Name who's the best Niners wide receiver?
Tebow Samuel, who's a rookie.
They
right?
had Jerry. I'm glad you brought this up. Thanks for the call, man. I got to some others, but you bring up a good point there at the end. Even there was a point, I think 8 weeks into the season, where Garoppolo had like 15 touchdowns, and no one had more than one. Kittle even
well,
only had one.
Dante Pettis was supposed to be a top guy
Kendrick
in that offense.
And, Bourne.
Yeah.
Debo Samuel.
Yeah.
Like, they have a lot. I think they have some good receivers. Jordan Matthews maybe even had one along the way. Marquise Goodwin maybe. They have a bunch of guys that just like, oh, yeah, he plays for them. But the point there is about depth. And I want one of two things. You could, like, the Chiefs, do they have depth? They just have superstars.
Well,
they have a little bit of depth, too.
Because Sammy Watkins is your, like, third or fourth passing option.
So maybe they have depth when Watkins isn't out with a hamstring injury, which seems to be half the season.
That's quite
most
often,
times.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like, that's what the Bills need. Of course, now where we're at this point, you can't go back and draft Patrick Mahomes. I understand
that. Makes an interesting
point, so where
point
you go
too,
from here, you, yeah. To me, your depth should be the guys who were your leaders last season. That's who your depth becomes. You go out and you add that number one wide receiver. Well, suddenly, my number two and three wide receivers are John Brown and Cole Beasley. That's my depth. I go out and I don't want to go get Melvin Gordon or Derrick Henry, but I go out and get another third-round running back. Maybe I play T.J. Yeldon more than Frank Gore. Maybe I go out and get Matt Breida if I do something like that. That's my depth at running
love
back.
Love me some Matt Breida.
Sure. Maybe I go out and sign Hunter Henry with all this money I have, and then suddenly Dawson Knox is my depth at tight end. The way I'd want to do it that way is add up at the top and push down the guys that were counted on game after game this season. So that's where you go from here.
Right now you want the one and the two to be the two and the three.
Yeah, I don't need to model my offense after the Niners. I would take their offense right now over the Bills' offense. Just statistically, they were better this season. They scored more points. Mahomes averaged 250 yards a game. Did Allen throw for more than that, like more than three times? Like Allen averaged like 195 passing yards per game. So I know it can't just base it on passing yards, but if I'm going to pick one of these two teams, Kansas City.
He also makes a good point, too, if the Chiefs are up 14. Look, don't get me wrong. I think Jimmy Garoppolo is a pretty good starting NFL quarterback, and he stepped up in some big games this year. I mean, in the Superdome, went in, shined, beat the Saints. He looked good against the Packers the first time around. But, yeah, if this is a battle where he's got to throw 40 times and they're not running the football well, I mean, the Chiefs held Derrick Henry yesterday to 3.6 yards per carry, and that guy had almost 400 yards the past two games.
You know what I think Garoppolo was this year? He's what I think everybody was hoping Winston would be. Like a little turnover prone, but he can air it out.
I don't know.
Not
Garoppolo averaged the least yards per attempt this year in the NFL. I think Winston, those are the two ends of the spectrum.
Really?
Yeah, 6.7.
They're
run after the catch kings. It's Kyle Shanahan's
offense.
Okay,
I was going to say, because he threw it a lot.
Oh, yeah.
How did he end up with 4,000 yards?
Because Deebo Samuel takes that 4 yard
That's the genius of Kyle Shanahan.
Yeah, I feel like he's going to be the new guy this offseason where everyone's trying to emulate. Like, everyone was picking off.
Well, he's kind of the same model as McVay.
Anyone that breathed on Sean McVay was getting head coaching jobs last year. And I feel like this year, it's anyone that was associated with Kyle Shanahan is going to be, like, the new.
The Cardinals, in their press release to Cliff Kingsbury being hired.
Because he was young, handsome, and offensive-minded.
No, in the third paragraph of their press release saying that they hired Cliff Kingsbury was a sentence saying he's friends with Sean McVay. Not even like he's worked on him.
He knows
Sean McVay. That's all you need.
I did not know that.
Yeah, so he's qualified. That's all you need. He's on a
great
job.
Mike Shanahan's going to get a job this year, I bet, if he wants.
No.
Like son.
Has it ever worked the other way? Has a dad ever been hired
dad
because
got a
the
job
son
because
is so
of
good?
The son? Probably not.
That's on the table, too. Roster build and such here, but we're talking mostly about how much blame the Bills deserve, if any at all, for not drafting a quarterback 3 years ago. Let's go to Brad in Fredonia. Brad, what's up?
Hey, just wanted to touch on a few points here. You guys kind of went over a few of them, but I think, Mahomes, I mean, there is a little bit maybe to blame, but I think in perspective, Andy Reid is a great offensive coordinator.
For sure.
And he has lots of weapons. Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce. That's a great offense all around, not only just, Mahomes, but around it. And I think there's something to be said about that. But you guys already touched a bunch on that. But I'll skip to my other point.
Mm-hmm.
Just looking back to what we got from that trade might also put it into perspective, too. We traded down in that same draft. Got Tre'Davious White.
Mm-hmm.
And in 2018, we had a first-round pick and a third-rounder from that same trade. Correct me if I'm wrong, but...
Nope, you're right.
With that third-rounder, we used it to trade up to draft Deion Dawkins, our left tackle who has been with us for a while and probably will continue to be.
Mm-hmm.
And then another first-round draft pick, we traded up to get Tremaine Edmonds. So that's three key starters at key positions. And an all-pro cornerback and a pro bowler with Edmonds and probably our starting left tackle for the next, I don't know, however many years. So it hurts not to have Mahomes, but I think the quality that we got out of the trade Maybe make the thing a little less.
Yes.
Yeah, Brad, thanks for the call, because that is right to think. To me, it's still not enough, though, to start to think that it's an even playing field. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like,
it's not near what
it's
a
not
quarterback
enough to just,
of that caliber
It's not enough to
do.
Not have the conversation at all. But he is right at the same time. At least they did get a top-tier corner out of it, a Pro Bowl linebacker, a really solid starting left tackle. But if those three picks ended up just being total flops, then this would probably be an even more aggressive
conversation. Why. The Bills almost did so well in that trade, not just getting value, but then landing the picks that they got from it. That's the
probably
biggest reason why this never gets talked about.
It will, though,
because
Allen,
you got good starters,
but
two
that
Pro
won't
Bowls.
It won't be enough if Allen ends up,
if he flames out.
Yeah, then that won't be enough to carry it. This will be a conversation that is probably brought back up.
We'll get into this later, but I can't see him flaming out. I've said it repeatedly, even today. I'm not sold on him as this team's franchise quarterback.
Yeah,
I don't think he's flaming out. I think he's at least a certain amount of good. We'll get into that later, though. We got time. Chris Trapasso coming up at 1 o'clock. Lou will be excited because we're going to talk NFL draft. I might just kick back, put my feet up, and try to learn some stuff. So we'll see what happens at 1 when Chris Trapasso from CBS joins us. Let us know what you want or what you think, though, on how much blame, if any, the Bills deserve for not being willing to draft a quarterback in 2017, where Patrick Mahomes, who now will be playing in a Super Bowl, was drafted with the pick the Bills traded out of. 803-0550 is the phone number. We'll roll through some more calls right after this on WGR.
You know, I mean, throughout the entire year, guys would get hurt. Other guys would, come in and plug themselves in, and we really wouldn't miss a beat. So it's just, that's the type of team we have.
That is 49ers quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo. Actually, I just pulled this from Chris Trapasso from CBS. We're going to have on in about 10 minutes here. Garoppolo, 43% of his pass attempts in the playoffs are play action.
Mm-hmm.
That's an enormous number. 43%. Mahomes is not far off. Mahomes at 38%.
If you never got traded from the Patriots, would you be
with that? We will talk about that.
All right.
Probably in the third hour.
I was thinking about that.
I planned on poking at any of the few Patriots
fans
that
feel
may be listening for some reason
or,
to this right now.
Yeah.
What do you mean? Who feels better?
I think
New England fans.
Like, would you be dreading like, oh, Garoppolo's up next, so we got to deal with this for another 10 years?
Oh,
like, would that be your mindset?
He's not a superstar, but if Brady left tomorrow and Garoppolo's the backup, I'm. How about this? I'm feeling a lot more confident, even though I like Jarrett Stidham a lot more than our man Derek over here.
That's insane,
I'd be way more confident with Jarrett Stidham being their backup than Garoppolo as a Bills fan.
If you think Stidham is anything,
I'd be a little annoyed if Garoppolo was stepping in right now. Yeah,
I'm glad he's not there.
Yeah,
very happy. We'll take one call before we hit a break here, and then we'll get to Chris Trapasso. Let's go to Nick in Niagara Falls. Nick, what's up? You're on with Joe and Lou here.
Hey, what's up, guys? So personally, I mean, we can beat this dead horse, Josh Allen, Pat Mahomes thing, but that shouldn't be our focus. Personally, what I think we should go for in the offseason here is go for the free agents market for tight ends. We have Austin Hooper, who I think we should pay the money to, a great blocking, receiving tight end. There's also Jacob Hollister, who played with Josh Allen at Wyoming. So we give him a familiar face. Then we should go for T. Higgins in the first round or another wide receiver. Then second or third day, go for that power back, who I think will be Edwards-Helaire, that LSU back, who's just an absolute monster. 5'9", 209 pounds, perfect complement to go with Devin Singletary. But I'm going to hang up, listen to you guys, see what you
get.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks for the call, Nick. These are a couple of names.
I know
T. Higgins might be the only rookie I know anything about at this point going into the draft class. I'll ask Chris about him after the break, and maybe this running back, too. Real quick, though, on that, just hearing that off the top of my head, I don't want a power back. Singletary is fine as my between the tackles.
Joe wants the Bills to pay Derrick Henry $12 million a year.
Oh, my God. The only thing in the world I would hate more than that is paying Melvin Gordon $12
million. He's not sniffing $12 million in free agency.
Maybe we'll bring that up. What does the running back market look like this offseason?
Especially after seeing what the Niners
David Johnson
did
might become
Raheem
available.
Mostert.
Yeah, like David Johnson's not what Henry and Gordon.
Oh, that's right.
Be.
Yeah, Kenyon Drake beat him out for the
Cardinals.
Well,
Drake's
job.
Also a free agent, but Arizona wants to keep him. The running back market is weird. I like the idea, like Nick
it's
just said, the caller of the Bills drafting a guy like on day two. Because I don't want to pay one.
It's strong.
I'm terrified they're going to sign Melvin Gordon. I'm terrified.
Here's the thing, though.
I really am.
With that many strong options and that deep running back free agent class, it might actually hurt some of them contractually.
Jordan Howard's also in that class, too. So there's some another power back option.
Some of those guys aren't going to get the money that they would hope for.
Exactly. You could go...
Gordon is one.
If the Bills were in a meeting, if the Bills were in a meeting with Melvin Gordon or Derrick Henry for some reason, and they're going, well, we want $13 million, and the Bills can just go... You can go get that somewhere else. I'm going to go pay Matt Breida $3 million a year.
Yeah, he held out.
I'm going to go draft the guy in the third round.
That guy held out.
Not even that point.
He held out for like a $10 plus
they offered
million
him 11.
Deal.
I think they offered him 11.
Which
he
is crazy because he's not going to sniff that, I don't think, in free agency.
I don't think so either. We'll talk some draft and also a little free agency too. Chris Trapasso of CBS Sports coming up next here in WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.